A few folks have asked me about some of the messages that have been somewhat short. When I was in college and in seminary, one of the seminary professors who had done a lot of preaching taught us to stand up, speak up, and shut up when we were done. And that's a good policy. We don't need a lot of embellishment on the truth of God. God has already done that in our lives. And so, if the message is short, it's what the Lord has given me for that particular service. And if it is long, and there will be some long ones, there have been some long ones in the past, that is also what the Lord has given me for that particular service. What I'm addressing before Christmas, we're in a Christmas season. I'm not wearing Christmas ties yet. Next week, first Christmas tie, but I'm wearing the gospel, John 3:16. But we'll start doing Christmas next week. But Christmas is a very special time for the Christian. Christmas is a time when Christians are supposed to stand out. They are supposed to be different from the world, from the people of the world. And so tonight I'm going to ask a question again. What does a Christian attitude look like? What does a Christian attitude look like? And for a jumping off place, we're going to refer to Mark chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. That's Mark 11, 25 and 26. And it tells us, when ye stand praying, forgive, if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Very important verse, folks. It says, if you want God to forgive you, you need to forgive also. So what does a Christian attitude look like? Well, first of all, we're going to start with forgiveness. As you and I go through life, we leave a Christian testimony. It's sort of like a jet airplane leaves a vapor trail. Sometimes when it's cold and the jet is at a very high altitude, you'll see them across the sky as a white streak. Sometimes it hangs in the air for several hours, or perhaps only briefly for a few minutes. It tells the observer that a jet has passed that way that day. Sometimes there's more than one vapor trail, depending on how many engines are under the wings and how far apart they are located on the wing. Did you ever think of your life as a vapor trail? As you go through life, you leave results of your attitude with the people that you have interacted with. It's like a vapor trail that reminds people that you have been there. It's called your testimony. And people are going to judge you as to whether you are a good ambassador for Jesus Christ or if you may leave a stain that cannot be washed out, no matter how hard they try. The one thing that causes a problem is when a Christian fails to forgive an offense of any kind. Most of us pray several times a day. We pray before meals to thank the Lord for providing the meal. We pray early in the morning to start the day off properly. And we attempt to discern what direction the Lord wants us to take that day. It's at times like that that we need to be sure that we have forgiven everyone who may have offended or hurt us. Jesus was very specific about the act of forgiving. It is essential that we do not have any ill feelings toward anyone. If there are ill feelings against anybody, they need to be forgiven immediately. Not forgotten, but forgiven. And there is a difference. Sometimes we forget because forgiving involves getting involved. So our attitude should start with forgiveness toward the people who have hurt or offended us. Even if that offending person has cut off your nose, you are to forgive them. And if they're coming back to take off your ears, you're to forgive them again. That's what Jesus said to us. If you don't do that, Jesus said that God will not forgive you the sins that you have committed. Remember what Jesus told Peter when he asked how many times he needed to forgive? That's in Mark 18, 21 and 22. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. So God expects us to forgive, and that's part of our testimony, and that's part of the vapor trail we leave as we go through life. He expects us to forgive those who offend us because we expect God to forgive us when we offend God. If we don't forgive immediately when we are offended or hurt, then we're going to offend God. How long did you have to wait for God to forgive you when you called on Jesus to be your Savior? It was instantaneous. That's what it has to be with us. If we offend God, then our prayer life is at an end because of the iniquity in our heart. And God will not hear our prayers. You know how much I like Psalm 66, 18. And now it's not talking about you, it's talking about me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. How would you like to pray through the night, only to have God ignore your petitions because he could not hear them, because you had some little sin of pride or some other sin in your heart? A lot of people do that. A Christian should live as Jesus lived and forgive immediately when they are offended. There are times when we might become angry when offended, and we might tend to let that anger simmer and burn for a period. That's pride. And pride is a sin in God's sight also. Pride is listed with many other sins in God's instructions of things that we are not to do or be. This now brings us to the next attitude that we ought to have. We should have an attitude of gratitude. We just got over Thanksgiving, a time of giving God thanks and people around us. Psalm 100 is just 5 verses long, but it describes what should be our way of displaying our philosophy of life. Psalm 100, verses 4 and 5. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. What Paul wrote 2,000 years ago is still applicable to our lives today. As we approach this next holiday, we should be entirely grateful for everything that God is doing for us. from the time that we rise in the morning until our head hits the pillow at night, we should be praising the Lord. I hope you are. I hope as you go through the day, there are so many times you say, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. He got me through this, or he helped me to do that. And I hope that your day is filled with praise to the Lord. There is no reason that we should not be filled with hope. Hope that God is going to give us the privilege of serving him as a bond slave. What does that mean? Well, a bond slave is someone who will do anything that his master wants him to do. A bond slave is humble and not prideful when it comes to the lowly tasks that need to be accomplished. If there is a mess to clean up, the bond slave will do it. If there is a job that no other person wants to do, the bond slave will do it. We all are servants to the Lord. We should be pleased to serve our Savior in whatever way that we can. Lacey Allen set an example for me by stopping and picking up trash that he saw laying on the sidewalk and on the grass. He would pick up a cigarette butt and bits of paper on the lawn and sidewalk. He wasn't a neat freak, but a bond slave doing God's service. And I have difficulty now walking past things laying on the grass or on the sidewalk, knowing the example he set for me. So far, we've looked at forgiving, and we've looked at being grateful to the Lord for everything he's doing for us, and we've looked at being a servant, a bond slave, if you will. Did I mention that we are ambassadors for Jesus, representing him to all of the people that we interact with? We should consider it a privilege that represent one who created the universe. Just think about it. Whatever we need to serve him is available from his hand. Whatever we need to serve him is available from his hand. Bobby gave us a good example this morning. He is the Lord who created the universe from nothing. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And the answer to that is no. So whatever you need to serve him in any kind of a task, you have but to look up and ask. And if this is part of his will of what you are doing, he will provide what you need. If we are serving him according to his will, we can ask him for whatever we need, and he will provide it. Like the illustration that Franklin Graham shares with his audience about hope, you've probably seen it on TV, he mentions a soldier who asks if Franklin has any more hope in his bucket, because his bucket of hope is almost empty. You and I have all of the hope that anybody could ask for. When God saved us at the time that we placed our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, God made hope available to us without limit. Without limit. That is something that we can share with whoever we come across, whoever God brings across our path. We have the hope that we will never be alone. The people of the world don't have that hope. Jesus has promised to never leave us or forsake us. When you are troubled, all that you have to do is call out, "Oh Lord," and Jesus is right there with you, by your side. No matter where you are or what kind of trouble you may be in, I'll give you an example. When I was in college, I worked in a radiator repair shop at night by myself in Greenville, South Carolina. It was hot during the summer. Summer was coming on. I had one of the overhead doors on, and I was repairing a radiator for a big Caterpillar tractor. And I had the door open so I could get some air, and as I was working with my back to the door, something told me suddenly, turn around. And I turned around, and there was a man approaching me with a knife in his hand. He was going to stab me in the back. And my thought as a young Christian, I was just a little over a year old in the Lord, was, here I come, Lord. That was my thought. But when the man made eye contact with me, he turned around. I had nothing to do with it, folks. There are many times in your life when God will intercede for you. And he will take care of you. He will protect you under whatever circumstance it might be. Do you think that God won't take care of you if you're taking care of his business? His business covers a broad spectrum of jobs. His business is washing dishes at home or cleaning at the church. His business may be fixing broken things or praying for a young woman who is considering an abortion, taking up the offering at church is working for the Lord. As long as you understand that you don't get any of what you collect. Now, I saw some urging this morning. It didn't quite border on extortion, but it was getting close. What else does a Christian do? He loves people. Everybody needs and wants to be loved. You can encourage someone by loving them and being available to talk to them when they need advice. They may not take the advice, but God may have placed you in that person's life to advise them about some spiritual activity. There are people who just need someone to listen to them from time to time. We may be one of those people occasionally. How are you at listening? At other times, you may run up on someone who needs a ride someplace. Could be the doctor's office, or sometimes as mundane as grocery store, but they need help. And that can be considered a job that you can do for Jesus. There's a verse that they use up at the Wilds camp before they eat a meal. For every meal, they recite this verse together. 1 Corinthians 10:31. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Good verse. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Now you can't go wrong with that scripture. If you do all to the glory of God, what more can you do? It just feels so right to glorify God. I just watched a mother pick up her child to take him home after a long day at school. She's on the school staff. She's one of the teachers. And she looked like she was glad to be doing what she was doing, going home from those kids. But she looked like she was also much more glad to be with her child. He looked like he was happy to have his mother taking care of him. And I believe that both of them were doing what God wanted. So let's go back and address the question again. What does a Christian attitude look like? He looks kind and loving and helpful and a source of hope and a means of help. A Christian attitude looks like Jesus. Christian attitude looks like Jesus. It's not proud or angry. It's what is needed at the moment. It comes in all skin colors and is sometimes pleasingly plump and sometimes slender and unassuming. It may be a male, or often it's of the female variety. But in all cases, it is heaven sent. And it gets the job done. It may be dressed like me, or it may be dressed like you. And it may even look like us. And it might even act like we act sometimes. But God is using you to accomplish His will if you are yielded to Him and the Holy Spirit. He will use you to minister to someone. You may not even realize that's what you're doing. Someone He loves. Someone He wants to reach out to. Now, we're approaching the Christmas season, and most people over 30 are thinking about giving. Children are thinking about receiving and are making all kinds of requests for the latest trend in toys and games. There's a gift that everyone who knows Jesus as their Savior should be thinking about sharing with as many people as possible. This time of year, we have an excuse to talk about Jesus. This is His season. We can talk to people about Jesus for as long as you want, as much as possible. This is the time of year that we have an excuse to talk about Him, since it's His birthday that we are celebrating. We can remind people that it is because of what He did on Calvary that they can have all of their sin forgiven. We can encourage them to seek forgiveness and celebrate a truly blessed Christmas. To the Christian, Christmas has nothing to do with trees or decorations or gifts. It is a time of giving life to a lost and dying world. When is the last time that you did? Is there someone that you would like to see come to Christ this Christmas? Why don't you take the time to sit down with that person and share Jesus Christ with them? We all have a choice. We all have an opportunity to share Christ through gospel tracts, and there are many of them out here. And if track rack ever gets empty, we have a few thousand more in the library. We have children's tracts to give to children. There's one I like, that's the frog track. But folks, that's what Christmas is really all about. It's not about us. It's not about the exchanging of gifts. It's about the telling others of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this time of year, we can expect the Lord to tenderize hearts. All over this nation, hearts are being tenderized, prepared for Christmas. And so God can use us, and He does expect to do so, through these various ways of our displaying a Christian attitude at this time of year. So a Christian is first of all forgiving. They do not hold grudges at all. No grudges. That's a good way to enter the Christmas season. Then a Christian is also thankful for all that God is doing or not doing to us, okay? It's not just what he's doing for us, but it's what he's not doing to us as a way of showing his love for us. A Christian is also kind and loving. And everyone needs love. We can show love to a person by just listening to them. I mentioned that. There are people all over this part of the community that need somebody to listen to them. They don't have anybody to talk to. They don't have anybody who would understand the situation there. And so many times, just listening as a person talks about what is troubling them, what is disturbing them, just the fact that we know and we have listened can make a big difference. So this Christmas, let's make a difference in the lives of the people that God puts in our path. It may be a waitress. It may be a store clerk someplace. But there are going to be people that you can talk to, people that you can display a Christian attitude with, who will know that you know the Lord Jesus Christ because of the, I'm going to use this term, vapor trail that you leave with your life. What kind of a vapor trail will you leave? What kind of an impact will you make on them with Christmas? Again, this is a short message, but Father, has laid it upon my heart to share with you. Father, we do want to serve you. We do want to be your bond servant. And Father, nothing is too hard if you are helping us. We want to share hope, real hope, with the world around us who has no hope. We want people to know that you love them, that you really love them, and that is not just words, but that you are showing that in your deeds. And so, Father, help each one of us in this Christmas time to speak to the people around us, the people that you place in our life each day, and Lord, may we share the Lord Jesus Christ with them. May they find his peace, peace that passes understanding. And Father, may you be glorified. May your will be done in our hearts and their hearts. And Father, we will praise you for everything that you do in our life and their life, because we ask it in Jesus' name.